Love
Good morning and welcome
Radio.
To the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening to the show earlier. We had a little technical difficulties trying to connect with Les Nubians. They have a new album out called New Revolution, and they're going to be coming to the Kimmel Center here in Philadelphia later in the month. And I'll be giving away a ticket to their show thanks to the Kimmel Center. And also I'll be giving away some CDs of theirs. So please keep an eye out on twitter.com/JoyKeys. And keep an eye out on Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys on Facebook. Right now, we're going to be speaking briefly with Professor Elijah Anderson about his new book, The Cosmopolitan Canopy. Let me just tell you some things people have been saying. The Cosmopolitan Canopy is a richly detailed account of how the public spaces we all share can either separate or help bring us together. I strongly recommend it. That's from Marion Wright Edelman, president of the Children's Defense Fund. Some other things people are saying, Randall Collins, president of American Sociological Association. This is the most important book on race relations in many years. Elijah Anderson takes us behind the statistics into the scenes of everyday life. We witness front stage performances of integration and backstage racial ethnocentrism, as well as the venues where interracial cosmopolitan civility is constructed. Updating E. Franklin Frazier's classic Black Bourgeoisie, The Cosmopolitan Canopy offers a gift for our pessimistic times, a book of realistic optimism. That was from Randall Collins, president of American Sociological Society. Good morning. Thank you for your patience this morning. And I'm going to be speaking with Professor Anderson. I believe he's on the line now. Hi, Professor Anderson.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, fellow Philadelphian.
Yes, I look forward to speaking with you.
Well, I've read the book, and let me tell you, so many memories, because I grew up in Philadelphia. You talked about, you know, the riverfront. You talked about the Liberty Bell area. You talked about the gallery, Reading Terminal. I mean, so many stories in Reading Terminal myself that I can think about. Love Park, City Hall, Rittenhouse Square. Oh, my God. When I was a teenager, Rittenhouse Square was like, you know, the place to be. And the people watching was just, you know, amazing. We would go there and, you know, watch all the people and their little idiosyncrasies and how they make their safe spaces. One of their things you talk about in the book about how people, like, you know, you can't get too close. You can get close, but not too close, you know, to people. And deference that different people give based on class and race. And then moving up to 30th Street Station. Your book is just a beautiful visual. Even though it's a written book, it's really almost reminded me of a I would say triptych, but I mean, you know, just a triptych is three-part picture. So it was a picture of our city and the different nuances. Let me ask you, I would say you almost have an addiction with people watching.
I do, yeah.
This delving into sociology, talk to me about how you got on that path of people watching and studying people ethnography.
Yeah, well, I'm an ethnographer, and I was trained at the University of Chicago many, many years ago, and I've written a number of ethnographies of Philadelphia, and I've done work on poor inner city communities over the course of my career. I've published books called A Place on the Corner, Streetwise, The Code of the Street, Against the Wall, and this is the current one, The Cosmopolitan Canopy, Race and Civility in Everyday Life. And while working on Code of the Street, I was living on Rittenhouse Square, and I began to develop this conception of the square as this canopy, and I began to observe and interact with people, and then I went to the Reading Terminal. I saw the same kind of dynamic, and I became very, very interested in this, and I began to observe and write and develop a conception of how various people get along. And I began the book with this walk up Market Street. And then as we move up Market Street, we then move into these iconic spaces, from the gallery to Reading Terminal to Rittenhouse Square and Liberty Place, these various places. And I describe all that in my journal, but also in the book itself. But then I decided to go into the workplace because I know that the spaces in public have a certain dynamic. And there's comity, there's goodwill expressed, there's a lot of good stuff expressed. There's tension as well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it was that'd be a good idea to get into a workplace situation, and so I move into the workplace. I get permission to visit a major corporation in Philadelphia, and
you were there for about 6 months, you say in the book, and the two main characters you talk about, Bob and Jerry, I think it is Jerry's the other guy. So
yes,
talk to the audience about Bob and Jerry and how you label them representatives of a larger look at human interaction. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, the Canopy is really a wonderful space, as I say, where all different kinds of people come together. And I wanted to test this in a workplace environment as well. I wanted to see the workplace as a canopy. And, in fact, the workplace is a kind of canopy, given the diversity that we see today. And I became especially interested in black executives and what they were going through, but also Jewish executives, Asian executives, women, that kind of thing. But I focused in on this issue of how black executives were making their way. And I talked with this vice president for human relations who gave me permission. He was African-American. He gave me complete run of this one company, and they gave me a glass and closed office. I sat there. I met people. I went to lunch with them. I went to various departments. I talked to people. And Bob and Jerry were two individuals who came to light here. Bob was an individual who was very, in my mind, cosmopolitan in his way. He had all different kinds of friends. He had a unique background that had allowed him to go to college, and he was very open to different kinds of people and all that. Of course, he was a manager there. Of course, the executive there, a successful one.
Professor Anderson, let me just interrupt you real quick. Talk to the audience real briefly about when you met Bob, though. You had a little funny interaction when you met Bob. Talk about that real quickly.
Well, when I spoke with him on the phone, I thought he was white. And he thought I was white. I think black people, other people, when they speak to people on the phone, oftentimes have a more formal voice. And this was my white voice, and that was his white voice.
I know about that. Trust me, I know about that. I get that a lot. I'll walk into a place, and I'll be like, "Oh, Miss Keith. Yes, I'm Miss Keith." Serious situation. Go ahead.
Yeah, but anyway, I dress in a pinstripe suit and I go down to the company. He invites me to have an interview with him and talk further about my intentions. And I go in and the receptionist greets me and lets me in. And I sit down and wait for him. He comes out and he's black, and that was provocative because I just didn't expect him to be black.
And you're
I think
a professor and you study people, and you yourself had that similar reaction that other people. So it doesn't matter. In terms of it rubbing shoulders with all different types of people all the time, and yet you still have a similar reaction, you know, to that situation.
Well, I thought, I didn't know he was black, and he didn't know I was black, and so we both carry it off when we meet each other, and he says, "Come on back to his office." So I go back to his office, and we sit down, and we talk, and kind of get to know each other, and he says, "Well, what do you teach at Penn?" And I said, "I teach a course in deviant behavior." Well, with this, we both begin to kind of laugh a little bit. We begin to crack up because here he is, a deviant, quote unquote, within this major white company, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm a deviant in the sense that I'm a teacher at the University of Pennsylvania, in the sense that, you know, it's dominated, you know, by white people, and of course, you know, professors are not always black. When you encounter them, students are sometimes surprised when they see a black professor. Anyway, we really kicked it off. We really got to know each other. We became friends, and he gave me the complete run of the place and encouraged me to do this study. And as I say, he gave me the office, and people filed by, and he introduced me to people in various departments and that kind of thing. So I went to their parties, I went to lunch, I went to happy hours, and got to know any number of executives, black and white, Jewish, Asian, others, women and others. And I wrote notes on this, and began to kind of understand the situation of black executives in particular. And this experience helped me to develop the concepts of cosmo and ethno. The essential tension in the book is between ethnocentrism and cosmopolitanism. And all of us have some cosmopolitanism, I believe, and some ethnocentrism. And I think that the canopy itself allows for, even encourages us, I think, to express our cosmos sides. And it also encourages us to keep our ethnocentric sides in check, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, Professor
Anderson, let me read a little bit from your book before we run out of time here.
Okay,
I just want to share some from your book. That's okay. This is from one of the first earlier chapters, Reading Terminal, and this is an experience you had with a gentleman at a diner counter. We sat there elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder. I gathered that he was not from Philadelphia, and I asked him outright where he was from. I'm from Sacramento. I've got a booth over here at the convention center, and nobody's there to watch it. He was in town for an exhibit of farm implements and equipment, and he ran a manufacturing business. He noticed how good his food was and how efficient the service was. He also commented on the diversity of people at the terminal and added that this situation was unusual for him as he had little opportunity for this kind of interaction in Sacramento. Clearly, he was impressed. He revealed that he was from a pretty homogenous background and that his water skiing club was even more so. He said that the club was white and male and included a couple of white supremacists, though he didn't share their views. The man continued to tell me about his background as I prompted him to talk about his work. It turned out that he employs a significant number of Mexicans in his business and that he is firmly in favor of allowing illegal immigrants to get driver's license. So this is a pretty good example of what you talk about throughout the book, interactions with people from different backgrounds and how they've become so open to one another in this canopy, in this safe space, as you will. You talk about that. Talk to us about safe spaces for people to share.
Well, as you know, Philadelphia is a pretty segregated city, and not just in terms of areas where people live in the city, but the suburbs are pretty homogeneous as well. And the canopy is the space in the city where all these different kinds of people come together and converge. And the canopy, in many ways, is a safe space. It's almost like an island of civility within this sea of division and, to some extent, tension. And sometimes that tension does come to the canopy. But most people, when they come to the canopy, are on good behavior. Basically, as I said before, the canopy encourages the expression of the cosmo in us, you see. And discourages the expressions of the ethno, so to speak. The ethno being much more separate, ethnocentric, to some extent, defensive, protective of what's yours, local, parochial even. And the canopy is a safe space in that respect.
One of the things you talk about, the different types of canopies, Reading Terminal is very diverse, very homogenous. What I get when I go to Reading Terminal, I think we're so close together. Everybody's like you're on a crowded bus in Reading Terminal sometimes, and that there's not an opportunity for a lot of, I don't know how you say, negative energy to jump off because you're so close. It's just like, look, I got to get my fruit, I got to get my vegetables, I got to get my salmon, I got to get my pastries, I got to go see the Amish. You don't really have the time or even the space, if you will, for the negative energy to jump off. But then you also talk about the gallery, the difference between the gallery and the Reading Terminal. Tell the audience about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's all this positive interaction under the canopy, in part because this is people need to get where they want to go and all that kind of thing. But there's also this issue of gloss. People tend to be polite. They tend to be more open, looking to some extent for the new experiences that they can have under this canopy. Now, the canopy that I describe at Reading Terminal is one kind of canopy, and I would say cosmopolitan in all kinds of ways. All kinds of people are there, and they're on good behavior, and they're enjoying one another, generally speaking. And food helps, of course. And people eat each other's food.
Well, food is iconic for bringing people together and trying to solve problems and resolve issues from government to family. So I think that does make a difference that there is food there.
Yeah. And it is an opportunity for people to come together and see people that they otherwise would not meet, you see. I mean, the canopy serves that purpose because given that Philadelphia is such a segregated city and people are living in relatively homogeneous situations, this canopy situation is an opportunity for different kinds of people to come together, you see. And people take advantage of that, and they take some of what they learn and what they observe, back to their particularistic communities, and there's this back and forth, you see, between, on the one hand, these ethnocentric neighborhoods and the cosmopolitan settings of the city itself. Now, the gallery is somewhat different. The gallery, it has a complicated history, and it started out as this place that was upscale, and it really, I think the developers meant to attract upscale people. Of course, the place is in a location where the train lines and bus lines go right to it, but given the recessions that happened since the 80s, up and down, that kind of thing, the gallery was not able to sustain itself as this upscale place, and poor people began to gravitate there, white, black, whatever. But then the shops began to change and cater to the poor people. In fact, in time, the whites stopped going so much, and the blacks made it their place. So now it's become a place where working class and poor black people dominate. But there was also Puerto Ricans and Asians and others. Relatively few white people go there. In fact, it is the black community or even the ghetto downtown. It's a safe space in many ways for working class and poor black people. Although it's not always.
Well, you know, there's even a black bookstore in there, Professor Anderson.
That's
so
right.
That's one of the things you bring up. You know, and that's a rarity. You know, in the city, I will tell you as a Philadelphian. In the city, an African-American centered bookstore, that is a gem, you know, for the African-American community. Real quick, we only have about 5 minutes left. One of the characters you talk about, Willie and his wife, Sarah Jane, and I actually got sad reading about Willie. I was like, well, what happened to him? You know, do you get a sense of grief when you meet these characters and then you have to leave them and then maybe you find out later something maybe bad happened to them in your work? How do you deal with that?
I do. I mean, I do, and I try to follow up, but we couldn't find him, and then I heard stories about him wandering the streets of North Philadelphia. Maybe he developed Alzheimer's or something. And the thing about the gallery social organization is that it is a place of kind of extended primary groups where people come from the neighborhoods and they find themselves in the food court there, and they get along and they have a sense of community. They know each other, oftentimes on the first name basis. They oftentimes don't go deeper than that. They just relate while they're there, and they have stories, they have relationships that are just there, and they do not go back into the communities. Some do have relationships that go back into the communities, but most don't, and they come there, and it's a haven for them. In cold weather, it's warm, and hot weather, it's cool, and they have all the food they want and the sociability right there. And so I spent time in that setting, getting to know people. And in the book, I render that setting to some extent. And Willie and Sarah Jane are two of the characters that I profile.
One of the things, real quick, we have about 2 minutes left. Talk to me about eye work, about how people look at each other, and the issue historically of black men eyeballing, you know, people in the South. Talk to us just real briefly about that.
Yeah, well, eye work is this way of looking things over in public. We all do this, and we engage in a kind of folk ethnography. We're all people watchers of a sort. We watch other people, and we enjoy this. But we also learn from this. We learn how to behave and how to treat people with respect and that kind of thing. At the same time, people have this kind of dance they engage in, where they might look away if they're confronted, that kind of thing. And so you negotiate relationships through the eyes. And historically, if you go back in the South to black men and white women in the South, there was oftentimes a penalty that black men paid for looking too closely at white women and even being in compromising situations in terms of having them look back sometimes. And this, I think, is something that we is an important part of our history, but this isn't what I'm focusing on under the canopy. This eye work is what we engage in as a way to know the situation, to know what's possible, to learn about the environment, to learn about other people in these public settings, and then to know what to do.
Yes, I think that's something I see all the time. I do it myself, walking down the street. You know, who's safe to get near? Who do I sit on a bench? Who do I talk to? And one of the beautiful things about your book is the many stories that you have from your journal about all the different people that on the bench, you know, at the bus stop, who opened up just about all kinds of things. So I would encourage everyone who's listening to pick up Professor Anderson's book, The Cosmopolitan Canopy, Race and Civility in Everyday Life. And Professor Anderson, I'm sorry, we only have 1 minute left. We don't have time to really go in depth with the rest of your book, but I will tell the audience, you need to pick it up just to get a beautiful picture of Philadelphia. Really, it is a picture. It is a huge canopy in and of itself, your book, about Philadelphia and what's going on, the positive and the negative, and also the workplace, because that's an important issue that you bring up, and I deal with that myself. I see in the workplace how you mentioned when people go out after work, the division is there at 5 o'clock, the bell rings, and nobody talks, and then when you're on the street, people don't recognize you, and they work with you every single day, they get things from you every single day, but they don't recognize you. It's an important book, a wonderful book, a beautiful book. Please pick up a copy of The Cosmopolitan Canopy. Thank you, Professor Anderson, for coming on this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I have to have you back on again so we can talk further.
Please do. Please do.
Okay, you have a wonderful Saturday.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. I just got off the phone with Professor Elijah Anderson speaking about his new book, The Cosmopolitan Canopy. You want to pick up a copy, Race and Civility in Everyday Life. These things that are going on just right next to you may not be Philadelphia. It could be Chicago. It could be Florida. He focuses on Philadelphia. I really like to highlight local Philadelphians, but he's also a professor at Yale and the University of Pennsylvania, so you want to check him out. The Cosmopolitan Canopy. Have a wonderful Saturday. Follow me on Twitter. .com/Joy Keys. Become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. You have a good one.